An update on what happens if you swipe things from the United States Federal Reserve System. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Wall Street powerhouse Goldman Sachs could be facing new sanctions from the Federal Reserve. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal are reporting that the Fed, which is a major banking industry regulator, is looking into a two-year-old case. A New York Fed employee had leaked secret information to a Goldman Sachs banker. Both of those individuals have since pleaded guilty. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace took a look at the lingering effects of bad behavior.
This whole case, David, involves a leak of information that originated at the New York Federal Reserve Bank. A guy named Jason Gross at the Fed leaked some papers to a banker, his buddy, Rohit Bansal, who had just started working at Goldman Sachs. And guess where his previous job was? It was at the New York Fed. So that's part of this whole revolving door issue where regulators go work for the banks, and it raises concerns about overly friendly relations between the two. New York State regulators had already investigated this, and Gross and Bansal and his boss at Goldman Sachs were fired. Plus, Goldman paid a $50 million fine.
Okay, so this was New York State regulators originally, but now the Fed in Washington is looking into the same case.
Yeah, and the Fed seems to be exploring some new action against Goldman over the incident, probably going to look like a fresh fine. It sounds like they may especially want to target Rohit Bansal's supervisor, who still maintains he didn't do anything and says he's being made a scapegoat. I just talked to Anat Admati. She's a Stanford professor who advocates for tighter bank regulation.
Certainly, the Fed is trying to give the impression that it's acting. So here's the Fed going after Goldman Sachs. Wonderful. But in fact, the problem is probably partly in the New York Fed and in its employees and their work with the industry.
And she says they would need much more strict and more enforceable rules about what bankers are allowed to work on if they do have Fed connections.
All right. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you.
Thanks.
With the Federal Reserve meeting today and tomorrow, with an announcement tomorrow on interest rates, there's new data on housing prices this morning. The Case-Shiller data from 20 metro areas in the U.S. is in, covers May, and while prices rose 5.2% year on year, that's below expectations. From the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman has more.
A lot's going right in the housing market, including low mortgage rates, plus plenty of pent-up demand from older folks ready to downsize and younger folks paying high rent now ready to buy. There's just one problem, says Danielle Hale at the National Association of Realtors, not enough homes for sale.
For over a year, we've seen inventories lower every single month. When you have not enough inventory and a substantial amount of demand in the market, what you see is prices increase.
In fact, prices have now topped their pre-housing bubble highs in hot markets like Denver, Portland, and Charlotte. So how come builders aren't putting up as many new homes as they can? Here's Robert Denk at the National Association of Home Builders.
They're having a lot of trouble meeting the increasing demand with the supply of developed lots and skilled labor.
And after the Great Recession, he says builders are still super cautious about developing big subdivisions for fear they'll get burned again. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
All right. Now, Starbucks says it's making some big changes to its dress code, which calls to mind this scene.
Well, I thought I remembered you saying that you wanted to express yourself.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I do. I do want to express myself. Okay? Then I don't need 37 pieces of flair to do it. All right?
At Starbucks, shirts can soon go beyond black or white. Will and if employees really want to go crazy, gray, navy, and brown. The company's lookbook also now permits shorts, dresses, even beanies, along with more expressive hair colors. Team members, or whatever they call them, had petitioned for the changes, and Starbucks is trying to retain people. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Nicole Cezurek is 24 and a shift supervisor at a Starbucks in Illinois. She's worked for the company for 5 years and considered leaving if the dress code didn't change.
I just wanted to color my hair. That's all I want.
She's now got big plans to dye her brown hair purple. Cezurek thinks the new dress code will boost morale, but she says the new rules are a little confusing. Denim's okay, but it can't be too light. Patterned shirts and scarves are now kosher, but nothing too busy.
Short of having a diagram of how big your patterns can be on your shirt, which is kind of crazy, you know, there's no There's no way to regulate that.
One of the unintended consequences of this is that managers will become less confident in enforcing standards that go against the grain of individuality.
Restaurant industry consultant Aaron Allen says if workers' outfits become too distracting, that could also alienate customers. Still, he says the move will soften Starbucks' corporate image and make it stand out from other big chains. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
The big beer conglomerate AB InBev is slightly raising its bid for rival SAB Miller, based in Britain. The reasons why are complicated, involving which shareholders end up with the most powerful power, I should say, after a merger. But the catalyst for the increased offer is Britain exiting the EU, which has forced down the value of the British currency, the pound. I know, the heat. If I were there, I would fan you with a palm frond. But I'm here, so the best I can do for you is to run a story about ice cream trucks. In New York, they're getting quieter. Isabella Kulkarni reports.
On the corner of East 14th Street off Union Square, basking in the last patch of afternoon sunlight, is Juliano Centano's Mr. Softy truck. He's dishing out cone after vanilla cone.
May I help you, sir?
He invites me into his vehicle to see where the magic happens.
Here's where we work. We got like rainbow sprinkles, chocolate sprinkles, vanilla syrup, chocolate syrup.
For Juliano, business seems good. And given the six other trucks surrounding him, he's found a prime spot. But what's missing from the scene is this sound. And here's the reason. Trucks can only play the music while they're moving.
We get like $1,000 summon if the cops catch us with the music.
Turns out, New York has strict rules on ice cream truck music. Former Mayor Michael Bloomberg overhauled the city's noise code a little while back, in part because of people like Joe Moretti from Jamaica, Queens. He described how it felt to come home after a long day and hear the jingle.
And the second I would hear that sound, I would just tense up. It was like they knew I was coming home from work to relax, and it was time to do this annoying jingle.
So Moretti logged on to NYC.gov and filled out a form called Report Music from an Ice Cream Truck. And he's done it about 50 times through the years. And he says recently it's been pretty quiet. But back at Juliano's truck in Union Square, it's far from quiet. He points across the street to a troublemaker.
You see on Broadway, there's a competition truck. It's not Mr. Softy. He plays that music all the time.
He's playing Pop Goes the Weasel, not Mr. Softy's song. But try telling that to the police. In New York, I'm Isabella Kulkarni for Marketplace.
Also, we're examining insiders versus outsiders, that perspective, in our political convention coverage. Hear what the team is finding in Philadelphia by signing up for our pop-up conventions podcast called Politics Inside Out, wherever you get podcasts or at marketplace.org/inside-out. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.